the award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento. Kia, official partner of the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023. Australian-owned and supporting communities, the arts and you. Join Lumo Energy today for a brighter essay. This is Sports Day.
Yes, it is Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, Sports Day SA. Now, what's in the toolbox? We're talking Bunnings. Thanks to Bunnings.
Ooh, Bunnings.
Save more with a power pass this tax time at Bunnings. Traders welcome Malcolm Blight. Bought a lawnmower from Bunnings recently. Fantastic. Took it home. Took me about 2 minutes to not put together, but get the handle up and that.
Did you get
first pull, bang.
Petrol worked. Or battery?
No, petrol.
Did you?
Yeah. Easy. Bit of oil.
Yeah, excellent.
You got the battery one, have you?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, no lawn.
No, we've downsized that. I mean, I used to have lots, but I don't now.
The big show, as you said, thanks to Bunnings, going to wrap Port Adelaide's win and the Crows lost. Gee, we'll talk about that. All the latest injury news. Malcolm Blight's top seven, we're talking key here, after the siren goals.
Yeah, get ready for this, because today, David, I'm going to interrupt you there. I didn't know it, but I got a text very early this morning, and I've had a number throughout the day, including phone calls and people talking about it. On this day, on this very day, listen to this.
Not over yet. What drama here at Princes Park. Malcolm Blight, it's a big kick. It's a mammoth kick.
Now, I
believe that went through. We couldn't quite hear.
Not over
yet.
No, it's not over yet. I didn't actually request that, but Sam Fantasia thought it would be good in our Kia top seven. No, you text me.
You text me saying 47 years today.
Oh, did I do that first? Oh, because someone text me.
Okay.
Now, so what actually said, we said, I wonder how many goals after the siren that we can put in the Kia top seven. So we've got a very select list, David, and I reckon you'll know most of them.
I know you're number one for that because the kick was the longest, but there's another lad we know both. Well, you coached him. I played with him. I won't mention his name.
Oh, yeah.
He kicked a goal after siren on debut.
And another former Woodville player.
Exactly. Michael Whiting from the AFL.com and Brett Phillips talking French Open. So can I just start? Malcolm, a regular contributor to our show.
Yes.
Malcolm is listening. He rang me just before I came
in. Malcolm. The other
Malcolm Ashworth.
Yeah, the other Malcolm.
Came out and said he could not understand for the life of him why the Crows didn't perhaps go and adjust to the humidity. Maybe a Tuesday, Wednesday, not necessarily Sunday, Monday, because even when the Gold Coast played their first game, they went up on the Thursday, 48 hours before their game. They beat the Bulldogs, stayed on. You said that can work both ways. Fine.
Yep.
But I think, as you know, Malcolm, Darwin is different. You've been up in Cairns and that weather.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable humidity.
It is.
And it's not so much the ball slippery, but it is hot. It's a bit out of the breathe at times. And it does take a while to acclimatise. I reckon they might have missed a trick. I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
Yeah, look, the scoreboard will tell you what you need to do next. Now, one of the things that Matthew Nix and the whole coaching panel and the club's got to realise next time is that maybe they can do that, or maybe they found something that the players said, why didn't we do this? You know, sometimes you actually just follow the leader as a player and that's what you're supposed to do. Sometimes they might have. Don't forget that group, that's mature group. I mean, Jordan Dawson hasn't been captain for long. The guys, you know, they're not there. I mean, I know Tex Walker is, but sometimes you actually learn from a loss. And I don't think going up there, if you use that as an excuse, so everywhere you go now and you play interstate, and I'll guarantee you now, when I took over at the Crows all those years ago and Geelong, there were excuses being made for playing interstate. Doesn't matter what they were.
It's the noise you've done this.
Yeah, this it bloody.
People are saying the poor old Crows draw. They're everywhere.
Or the bus is late, or the plane's late, or it's just rubbish. You've got to get rid of that noise out of the way. And what you do, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. We don't whinge about it.
Yeah.
We'll assess it at the end of the game.
And was that a Gold Coast Suns home game? It probably would have been, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
you'd rather play them there than at home.
Well, I remember. I'll talk about something a bit later on, but Richmond were packed up. They were sent to Darwin, sent to Cairns.
Thank you, went to China.
Gone to China. So everyone, unless you're sitting tippy-tippy top of the ladder, I reckon you actually go where they're asked, and eventually if you climb the ladder, you get into it. So, yeah, no, I've never – one of the great things I learned was play them anywhere. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I don't
what
mind
do,
that.
Yeah,
but what about the humidity? Would you do take them up a couple of days earlier?
No, what I would have done is put some Johnson's baby oil on the footies and train with them down here so the ball was slippery. Not water because it dries off too quickly. Baby oil. I used to do it all the time.
But I thought, looking at the game, the longer the game went, the Gold Coast, the better they got. I mean, they started from 6 goals down. Adelaide worked their way back to in front by 2 points.
What do you reckon that is? I'll tell you why they lost. They lost. They lost the contested possessions. Now, I'm not a great stats man, as you know. They're only part of the game.
Yes.
They lost by 38, David. 38 50-metre kicks, say. You know, that's a long way.
And I said to you before, I watched the game. I was out at a dinner party. We had the game on and without sound. And I was watching and I thought, gee, the Gold Coast could be going a little bit harder, you know, when there's no noise.
Yeah.
A couple of their kids are good. Now, you've had a bit of faith in the Gold Coast Suns. I haven't been so bullish, but...
Yep, they're coming.
I'm really thankful and glad that Stuart Dew's got these two wins. If he had two losses... I mean, you almost put a cross through Stuart Dew's name. They're 6-6 now, are they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and so, I mean, they're sitting... we're going to talk to Michael Whiting, who's the AFL correspondent in Queensland. Yes. He's a good fella, hard worker. I know him reasonably well. We'll ask him. I reckon that the Crows and Gold Coast are in similar positions in their growth.
I think you're right. Both young teams.
Yeah, I reckon within 2 years, maybe next year, maybe this year even, but within 2 years, that younger group will get another couple of years, another 40 or 50 games. I reckon they'll be playing finals.
A couple of hot topics for you, thanks to Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. Polaris end of financial year deal on right now. $3,000 free accessories on the Polaris range is terrific there. I want to ask you about Tom Duday. This is an interesting one. Yeah. Tom has left contract for next year on ice, just saying I'd rather wait for the end of the year. He's done his ACL. Probably won't be playing to maybe around 10, 11 next year.
Yep.
All the talk was he may go back to Melbourne. And I think, I'll give my opinion and ask yours, but I think this might make him stay here now because he knows what he's got here. I'm sure the club will get him through his ACL and hopefully play another 4 or 5 years. But does it diminish your value when you've done your second knee? And would it scare Malcolm Blight off as a coach looking at players I want to bring in? Hang on, he's done one, he's done another one. Sometimes it takes a year to get your form back too, a full year,
To
get your comp. What do you do?
Well, what I'd say to first off is, how do we know that Tom Duday wasn't going to stay at the Crows anyhow?
That's a fair point.
You know, he was going to sign the deal.
Might be leveraging.
In 1 or 2 weeks. He might have been totally happy here.
Bryce Gibbs told me he did that 5 years in a row.
I'm
going back to Adelaide.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here you go, Bryce.
Most people have done that. Yeah. Even I did it in my day.
Did you?
Of course I did.
Oh, want to go back to Woodville?
Yeah.
All right, here you go, Mountie.
Yeah, of course I did. So that's not unusual. I just feel for the lad. Now, one of the things I know, everyone tells me he's very diligent. Everyone is diligent when you get one of those injuries now. It is an absolute shame, and it is one of the tragedies of our game. Injuries are part of it, but we do feel for him, and I really do feel for him. I don't think now he doesn't have to think about anything. Go and get the work done and then start the rehab.
And he knows he's always got a job here.
Of course.
It's not like you've got nowhere to go.
Correct.
But I'm just wondering if it does, would it scare off some clubs?
Maybe.
An injury like that?
No, maybe. Hey, David, just as an aside, something more pleasurable I did today. Max Bashir, the great South Australian administrator, president of the SANFL for so many years, he's 96, would you believe? He's in really good nick. And we had a little thing, got invited, Peter Marker, the great Peter Marker, invited a whole group of people, one from each club. KG was there as the umpires. Jeff Roach was there from the media. Wayne Jackson was there.
And Johnny Regis.
John Regis, yeah.
North-South game.
But it was great because there was a person, I won't go through the 10 teams, but every team was represented around. Barry was there. Yeah, I mean, lots of.
I believe there were 6 medals between the group today, 6 McGarry medals, and a Brownlow.
Really?
Well, I believe.
How many Colemans?
Don't know Coleman or Ken Farmer. I didn't go that deep.
No, I'm being a bit unfair. But I sat alongside Peter White that I hadn't seen for a few years, and so that was good too. I mean, there was lots of others there.
McGarry medal too.
Peter. Of course, yeah. There's lots of others. I shouldn't mention them all. But it was just great to see Max in so fine form.
And 96, Max.
Yeah, it was a great little celebration. So well done to everyone. I probably should have mentioned the names, but anyhow, another time.
And we probably should mention Port Adelaide did the game on the weekend.
Oh,
that
mate,
was a good
mate.
First quarter, as I've seen for a long while. Now, you might say it's only Hawthorn, but they were brutal. Finlayson kicked a goal in the opening 30 seconds. Kicked 4, I think, in the first quarter. Amazing, Blighty. They just pushed him aside. I know Sicily didn't play and he's a general down back, but it was frightening footy, how powerful. Now, they did peter out, and Ken Hinckley said, look, the leading by 82 points in half time, sometimes you you can't keep it up. To Hawthorn's credit, they came back. But that was a dominant display by Port Adelaide.
I always say when it happens, and we've all been involved in those games, haven't you? You have your turn. Don't forget, I mean, you know, every team has their turn. We know that if you get on top, you get a roll, momentum. And it's a thing I'd buy now. If I was coaching, the first thing I'd buy at the shop is momentum, if you could buy it. So, but you'd take a 55-point or whatever it was, 50-odd point win every start,
oh,
wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, at one stage, it was going to be 150. But, and look, I asked you the question last week, I think, about, you know, Jonas didn't play, Dixon didn't play, Bogue didn't play. They're not absolute musts, any of them now. They are part of the side, but they're not the go-tos like they used to be. Charlie Dixon, I think, draws the footy all the time too much, and they tend to kick. You see this big monster down there.
Yeah.
Now you've got Finlayson playing his little bit part in Marshall, and the little guy's getting a few goals. Boak is not the premier midfielder anymore. He has been for a number of years, but he's not anymore.
No.
And Tom Jonas, certainly his career's not over, but he's not the, you got Alier and a couple others picking up the slack.
There's no doubt about that. It's not yet a changing of the guard, because as you know, you've been around footy, so have I, for longer than we care to remember. Mate, you need a squad. Right now, you need a squad to finish, go to the end of the year, and finals time. You just don't train 22 guys. No. I mean, there's 35 trains.
They've got depth now, haven't they?
Yeah, you need that, because things happen. People lose form, and just like Tom Dudo, people get injured. Hopefully not. I mean, you don't want to, but that's what happens. So they're not even close to having their final team yet for a first final come September.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think we might have, us included, thought Scott Lysett was on the ropes. You know, if you looked at his form, the game against the Bulldogs, Tim English smashed him. He looked slow. He looked
injured. He did.
Went back to the Sandville, freshened up. Now he's been, the last couple of games,
he's
a big part, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not, sometimes it's, you know, just circumstances put you in that position. And same as, you know, I thought it was a courageous move from Ken Hinckley, and then a courageous decision by Tom Jonas to go back and say, look, I've been in and out the team a bit lately. I've had some form. I've had some suspensions. I'm probably not firing on all cylinders. Playing a game in the twos, playing a couple of games in the twos, might bring him back and freshen him up.
Mate, it only takes one injury. He's back straight in there. A text here. Boys, every game they've lost this year, we're talking Crows. The midfield has been smashed. They need to recruit more midfielders. Darren from Craigmore. Probably right, Darren. I think they need a couple more in there to help out Laird. I thought Keyes was good. Played another decent game. Tried his heart out.
David, can I also just say, one of the problems is, when you lose that momentum, and against the Gold Coast Suns, it was couple of the lads from Gold Coast getting in top in the midfield, that, you know, you try and watch the game and you try and watch the moves, but the camera goes off so you can't actually see everything. But being at the ground, you should be able to see where they're taking it away from the midfield and make the changes there and then. Now, I'm not saying they didn't.
Yeah.
It's very hard for us when you're sitting and the camera comes off it. You don't actually see what's going on behind the ball a lot of the time. So, but at the ground, David, I'll say this, and I think I've said this once before, I, senior coach, in every game I ever coached, was responsible for every centre bounce.
Yeah.
It was my structure, where the players are, and when it went wrong, I knew exactly why it had gone wrong.
Yeah.
I just took ownership of that. Senior coach.
I don't do the same thing all the time. That's Sam just put up some names. Cook, Saligo, Rochelle, Berry, Schomburg, Haitley, Scholl. There's plenty there, but I still think they need some elite speed. You can never have enough good midfielders. Look at Port Adelaide at the moment. They've got some top. Now, a show thanks to Bunnings. Great to have Bunnings on board again. You can sign up to the Power Pass today to save more with exclusive Power Pass pricing this tax time. Bunnings has said, I was down there, picked up a lawnmower. Plenty more to come. Stick around. We've got Blighty's top seven. He may be number one, but there's six other very good after the siren goals.
Sam Fantasia was number one. He put it number... Listen after the break. I've got some outstanding stuff coming.
Okay.
The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento. Kia, official partner of the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023. Australian-owned and supporting communities, the arts and you. Join Lumo Energy today for a brighter essay.
Mark Blight and David Wildy, shortly the top seven, the award-winning seven-seater Kia Sorento, Kia's largest SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. We've got a text from Rob from Berry, regular Hello, Rob. Good evening, Wildo and the Messiah. What were your thoughts on the Chase Jones 50 very quickly?
Oh, a toenail in it. I don't bag umpires, but I thought it was most
shocking
unfair.
Shocking decision, I
yeah,
thought.
And it wasn't about Crows or Gold Coast. It was a terrible decision.
Well done, Rob. Barry, lovely place, lovely golf course. Injury update thanks to Bupa. Switch to Bupa. Canstar's outstanding value health insurance for 2022.
Well, we know Tom Duday's out with that ACL. And Port Ruckman, Bryn Teekle in the twos. He's going to spend a period on the sidelines after suffering a foot injury. So that's not good news.
He's had Although a bad run, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has had a bad run.
Charlie Dixon to come back. Bit of ruck
okay.
there.
Now, what about a Sandful finals recap? Come on, David.
Feels like finals in the host plus Sandful Women's League finals footy. Nothing beats it. And as I said, that injury report, thanks to Bupa, 4 million Australians prepare for life with Bupa.
Yeah, and Central's is through to this weekend. Sandful W Grand Final to take on the Panthers. So, Central's versus the Panthers.
Okay, let's have this top seven for Kia after the goal sirens.
Number seven, round three, 2022, Jordan Dawson showdown. Remember the goal?
Wobbly kick,
fantastic. 4 points.
It went both ways,
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, number six in the Kia top seven. Here we go. Robbie Gray versus Carlton in 2020. Kick after the siren, 3 points. Yeah. Great kick.
It was. Remember that?
Yeah. I was at this ground in 2012, number five in the Kia top seven, round 16. Carmichael Hunt kicked the goal to beat Richmond and the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, were you there?
I was there. I was with the Gold Coast Suns there. I told him how to kick. Right shoulder, right post, and
okay.
He did. Well done.
Michael Hunt, yeah.
Number four in the Kia top seven. 2002, round 15. Remember this? Jared Poulton at the SCG kicked the goal after the siren to win by 2 points.
Malcolm, I know it's not about me, but I called that one too. That just means you've been round a long while calling footy.
Probably does, David.
Jared Poulton too wasn't a noted goal scorer. He's in the fire brigade now in Adelaide. But
yeah.
Centre 40 was 50 metres out. We said, can he get it? Can he do it? Wasn't quite 100 out, but 50 got there. Well done, Jared.
No, good calling. Now, number three, 1991. I remember this clearly, round 12. One of Crow's favourite players at the time, Rod Jamieson, then playing forward, ended up at fullback in the Premiership team.
That wasn't a free kick either.
Fitzroy by 3 points with Rod's kick after the
song. Fitzroy's still complaining. What about number two? This
number
is a big
two.
One.
Now, this is, I know this is close to your heart, and very close. The former Woodville player in 1980, would you believe, in the debut game playing for South Melbourne in the VFL then, John Roberts, who holds the record at Woodville for 16 goals in a game at Football Park. He kicked the goal after the siren playing for South Melbourne to knock off Geelong by 3 points. Well done,
Sam Newman played that game. You know who stood the mark? Police horses. They had the
right.
Coppers out on the ground, four police horses. Crowd came out. It's only 20 out. Thankfully, he wasn't 25, but he might not have made the distance. But
I remember reading the papers there because I was in Melbourne at the time and thinking, gee, where's this?
That's our
one.
First game.
First game.
AFL
unbelievable.
Game.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Or VFL
great
game.
Headlines.
Done, Robbo.
It'd have all the cutouts, I reckon, too.
He'll be listening,
and so
too.
He should. But number one in the Kia top seven.
Not over yet. What drama here at Prince's Park. Malcolm Blight, it's a big kick. It's a mammoth kick.
And for all those others that I've just said, and all those others, how many, Sam? 30-odd in the history of the world? Only 30-odd, I think, have kicked a goal after the siren to win the game. Mine was voted number one. And when I say mine, the kick that I did, playing for North Melbourne versus Carlton in 1976.
I remember Jamie Elliott was after siren last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it
Collingwood
was.
Did that.
It's in the book. It's in the Bible. But they voted number one. It just so happened to be voted number one.
How many years ago was that?
47, would you believe?
My
56
gosh.
To win after the siren, 7 goals to draw, a behind to win, there's been 5, a behind to draw, there's been 3.
There's been 14 million games, 56.
And there's been
14 million trillion games.
And yours was the best.
Yeah, the best.
I voted by one M block.
I think there's only been 2 on debut. So, as we said, well done to Robbo. A bit of Woodville there tonight.
Was indeed.
Malcolm Blight and John Roberts. We have got to take a break. Plenty more to come. I'm going to go and speak about Roland Garros, the tennis hotting up there, and also Michael Whiting from AFL.com.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia, official partner of the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023. Australian-owned and supporting communities, the arts and you. Join Lumo Energy today for a brighter SA.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight and David Rudy. Thanks to the Toolkit Depot, your trade pro partner. Toolkit Depot, everything you need to get the job done, shop in store or online.
Sports Day SA. On Cruise 1323 and 1629 SENSA.
Well, Malcolm, we're going to speak to a man that you know well from Queensland. He works for AFL.com. As we said, thanks to Toolkit Depot, Michael Whiting joins us.
Yeah, David, I mean, it was one of the pleasures actually sitting watching training as I did for a number of years with Michael. And just the assessment, his knowledge of football, he's been around the scene for so long, and I always enjoyed his writing. So it's great to catch up with him, a good Queenslander.
Yeah, Michael, welcome to the show. And gee, your footy's all right. Gold Coast Suns are shining. A couple of good wins in Darwin and Brisbane, as always, up around the top of the ladder.
Thanks, guys. I'm blushing from your comments there, Blighty. Great to join you. Footy up here is going well. It was a terrific fortnight for the Suns up in Darwin. Obviously, they went up there under a bit of pressure, 4-6, and you thought, oh, if this goes the wrong way, their season could just about be done. But they did the opposite. They flipped the script and they beat two top eight teams. Great wins against the Dogs, and Adelaide had to show a bit of resilience in both of those victories. And yeah, the Lions put themselves right in premiership contention. They had a bye, obviously, on the weekend, but 8-3 sitting nicely in third. So yeah, both teams going well up here, which is not something I've been able to say too often over the last decade or so.
Yeah, 2-2, Gold Coast in Darwin. Bloody and I spoke at the top of the show. We thought maybe Adelaide could have gone a couple of days earlier to acclimatise. It is completely different up there, as we know, the humidity in Darwin, and a lot of teams get caught out. So well done to the Gold. They actually stayed there for the 7 days, didn't they?
Mm. They did. They went up on the Thursday before they played the Dogs, so they had 48 hours to prepare for that game, and then they did stay in Darwin the week, so they were there 10 days all up, did a little bit of work in the community post the Dogs match on the Monday and Tuesday, and then got stuck back in before they played Adelaide. So yeah, they've loved their time. 2 years in a row now they've spent 10 days up there, and they're 4-0 in the last 2 years, so I get the feeling they really enjoy it. They've got a lot of guys on their list now that come from Darwin, and it does feel like a bit of a home away from home for the team.
Now, just to introduce to our listeners here in Adelaide, Michael actually trained with the Brisbane Lions about 4 or 5 years ago. In other words, he was a middle distance runner as a youngster, and he went and trained. He actually lived embedded, and that was the word, wasn't it? Embedded with the Brisbane in a pre-season. I mean, it was the most unusual. I love reading your take on the whole thing. I love reading the Brisbane take on the whole thing, that you got in and got your hands dirty with them. I mean, it must have been enjoyable for you, but also fact-finding.
Yeah, terrific. It is terrific, Blighty. I've been lucky to got to run a session with the Lions a few years ago. I actually jumped in with the Suns and just did the running component. If I did the footy stuff, mate, they'd snap me in half. But the running stuff I love. It's what I grew up with. It's terrific on a number of fronts for me. I get to see how hard those guys work first person, and obviously it helps my relationship building with the players and with the rest of the club. So they're great experiences, and I feel lucky that the clubs have allowed me to jump in a couple of times over the years.
Now, I reckon that's because of the way you operate. Now, you had a blue with Chris Fagan not that long ago, something you wrote about the team, about the issues. Chris Fagan didn't like it. He got fairly upset with you. But ultimately, Chris Fagan was big enough to give you an apology for it.
About a year ago, sort of late last season, he wasn't too pleased with something I wrote in one of my match reports. And we had a difference of opinion.
What specifically was it, Michael? What upset him?
They'd lost the match up at the Gabba against Essendon, and I thought their effort was below par, and I wrote that. And Chris didn't think that was fair. They'd had a few late changes because of COVID. And anyway, we had a difference of opinion, but he did call me shortly afterwards to apologise, and we hashed it out more, and it was great. I think obviously as a journalist, you come across those things sometimes. Not everyone's going to agree with what you write, but I love being able to deal with it, whether it's players or coaches. If they don't agree, but if they come and tell you why, and you can explain where you're coming from, I think it's the best way to go about it. And we put it behind us very quickly.
And one of the things, a great journalist told me many, many years ago, knowledge is hard to beat, opinion's easy sometimes. But if you do it with knowledge, like you've done, it's hard to knock off, isn't it? It's hard to beat knowledge.
That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to support your stories or your arguments with facts. I mean, I think that's what most journalists are trying to do. Obviously, we're in a little bit more of an opinion game now, and it's good to have an opinion, but as long as you've got some sort of statistics or a reasonable basis to back up what you're saying, I think people you'll eventually get people's respect.
Okay, now, back to the Gold Coast Suns. So far down, it looked over, but Lukosius, they've found some goals, 10 in the last two weeks. Anderson's been good all year, I reckon, but it was Matty Powell. Yeah, young Humphrey as well, but Matty Powell in the third quarter, just got going again. He's sort of been a bit down, hasn't he, compared to Noah Anderson, but all of a sudden those early picks, and they've got a lot of them still, they're just starting to sprout a bit.
They are. They're 4 or 5 years in. We know Matt Rowell had some big injury problems his first couple of years. Did the shoulder in year one, had a knee in year two that wiped him out for half a year. But he doesn't get big numbers. He's not a high possession winner, but he's right at the coalface all the time. I think they've obviously got a good chemistry, those two. They came pick one and pick two, and they're best mates. But they're a great complement to each other in the midfield. Rowell's under the nose of the ruckman all the time, and Anderson's able to do that, but he's much better on the spread. He can jump away from stoppages, and he can also use the ball pretty well on the outside. So they're a great combination. They have got some high-end picks. Bailey Humphrey, like you mentioned there, is making a terrific impact in his first season. Lukosius, Ben King. But these guys have got 4 and 5 years under their belt now, and we're just starting to see 50, 60 and 80 games in what they're capable of.
Ballard, another one. Hey, Michael, a lot of knockers about football in the Sunshine State. Participation numbers, I believe they're as high as anywhere going around in Australia. And also there's a couple of kids in the upcoming draft. They might go in the top 10 out of the academy there. So they must be doing something right.
Yeah, the participation numbers are great. That's been a huge tick. And Gold Coast does have a lot to do with that. It's that Gold Coast region, which is massive, has gone ahead a lot in the last 10 years. Now, obviously, it's not what we get to see on a weekend basis, but you hope long-term it's going to have an impact. And, as you rightly say, a couple of academy kids from the Suns that they've had some small success with over the years. They've got numbers, but there does look like there's some top-end talent here. Jed Walter, Ethan Reed, and a few others. So, potential top 10s, and, you know, that's... Obviously, that's what you want, big participation potentially if you guys coming through your academy, and sort of staves off that go-home factor if you're producing them from your own backyard.
Malcolm and I both had Brisbane in the grand final, maybe even winning it. Both times we've seen them at Adelaide Oval, they've been beaten. Port Adelaide smashed them, Adelaide beat them. Is there still a query somewhere? I mean, you look at the talent right across the board, it looks fantastic, but just seems to fall short, or has fallen short the last 4 years, even though they finished fourth and fifth, that type of scoreline. Where do you put them? Because I don't think there's any, maybe apart from Collingwood, I don't think there's any standout teams like there have been in previous years for the Hawthorns, Geelongs, Richmond, this type. So where do you see them?
Yeah, I'm with you, guys. I had them in the grand final at the start of the year as well. I think they're a better team than they have been previous years, and it is interesting that they've lost both times at Adelaide Oval. Aside from that, I think they're 8-1. They played good footy. I think they're better balanced. The Josh Dunkley addition can't be understated. He is a great complement to their midfield. He's a bit more defensive. Lockie Neal's obviously a brilliant player, but he likes to hunt the ball. Sometimes I reckon that can leave them exposed going the other way. Same as Hugh McCluggage loves to hunt the ball.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good ball winners and ball users, but Dunkley, we've seen it against Carlton, where he went to Patrick Cripps at the stoppages and kept him quiet. He kept Matt Rowell quiet at stoppages, and they just got that, a little bit more flexibility in their game now with Dunkley there. Connor McKenna's been pretty good at half back, offers him a bit more run, a bit more speed, which covers up a few defensive lapses. So they're not perfect team by any stretch, but I think they're a little bit more flexible and have a few more options to throw around if they get into strife.
Yeah, I reckon they're travelling okay. Now, Will Ashcroft, I saw him train with the Gold Coast Academy for all those years when his the father, Marcus Ashcroft, triple premiership player. So you know the Ashcroft family fairly well because all your involvement's up there. But I mean, what a beauty he is. How do you get them? You just, they don't grow on trees like Will, do they?
No, they don't. Brisbane's so lucky to get him. They haven't had a lot of success with father sons over the years, so I think they're thanking their lucky stars that Will chose to go down the father-son path. Of course, he didn't have to, but he did. And you speak to him, he is, if he's not the most professional player at the club, he's up there already. He's just walked in. I sometimes wonder whether that leaves, how much room that leaves you to grow, to be honest. Like, obviously, physically, he's going to get stronger and he's going to get fitter, but he is so locked in and so professional and ticks every box and obviously has a lot of skill to go with that. And I mean, I've mentioned Dunkley and McKenna there. It was silly to not mention Ashcroft in that same sentence because he's just given them so much depth and he can be so destructive on the outside as well. He's a great ball user.
Yeah, great kid. Michael Whiting, I guess. One last one. I know you're a fair way from the Adelaide Oval, but Port Adelaide, I think they've taken us all by surprise this year. And look at that elite midfield, Rosie, Buttershorn, Francis. They're there for the next decade. It's been an amazing story. And I think the other thing, Michael, they've got elite kickers now that go through the whole side, particularly their back line. You know, Farrell and Burton, McKenzie, Houston, they can all kick.
Houston.
And that's massive.
Yeah, it is. I love that midfield. I really love watching Port Adelaide now. And obviously they've been similar to Brisbane in some ways. They've been down a year or two, but in that top four, knocking on the door and not quite able to get there. But just that verve and that ability to jump away from congestion that Rosie and Horn Francis offers now. And I love what Kenny's been able to do with that forward line. I sort of thought when Charlie Dixon Marshall misses with concussion. Georgiades is out for the rest of the year. And you think, where are the goals going to come from? But Finlayson's having a great season. Obviously, when Marshall's played, he's been terrific. So many contributors in that forward. Pal Pepper, like so many contributors in that forward line. So much flexibility there for Kenny. And they've done a great job to throw those young guys into the midfield and to have the chemistry and the impact they've had. I love watching Port play now. And they're, like Brisbane, they've sort of probably zoomed into premiership calculations now, because I think you're right. There's not really that outstanding team that doesn't look beatable.
Just another quick one, Michael, just in closing. The other side of town, of course, the Adelaide Crows, you've just seen them live. They controlled the game for a fair bit of it, and then Gold Coast were good enough. But I reckon, just looking at both those teams, Gold Coast and Adelaide, just to my eyes, they look about in a similar position up the ladder. They're coming. You can see they're coming. It might take another year or two, but are you of the same mind of that?
Yeah, I am. Love what the Crows have done this year as well. They're another exciting team to watch. The forward line is so dynamic. Obviously, Jordan Dawson's made a huge difference the last 18 months into that midfield. Love that Rochelle can go in there as well as play forward. So, obviously, the injury to Dude the other night clearly hurt Adelaide. It just upsets that backline mix. I know Matthew Nix wasn't making that excuse post-match. More so, he was saying leadership more than structure, but we saw the troubles that Lukosius and King present, and without that ability to jumble the matchups, it made it a bit more difficult. But yeah, I think you're right, Malcolm. They're in the same boat as Gold Coast. Now, whether they're both probably looking to play finals this year, you'd think it might be unlikely that they both sneak in, but they'll be there and thereabouts, and you'd think next year they'll both be ready to go.
Yeah.
Michael, thanks for the chat. Appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Anytime.
Yeah, good to catch up, Michael. Keep up the good work, Sonny. Good on you, mate.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Michael Whiting from AFL.com. Well, from Michael Whiting, let's go and talk to Brett Phillips. We're talking about the French Open update. Roland Garros now streaming on Stan Sport. Every match ad-free. Four courts in 4K and Australasian Academy of Tennis Coaches, AATC.tennis. Brett, welcome. And just looking through the draw, the men's side stacked with the champions, Djokovic, Alcaraz, Tsitsipas, Zverev, and the women's still got a couple of big names in there too, including Sabalenka.
Yeah, Dave, there's some mouth-watering matches to come. It's amazing how the cream certainly rises to the top. They come the second week of the major. And yeah, the most anticipated clash that we want to see is still on track. Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic both put a real stake in the ground overnight. It's amazing how these guys get to about the fourth round and they go up a notch. Carlos comfortably over Lorenzo Musetti. We expected a much better contest, but he saw off a fellow next generation player. And Novak brought the fairy tale run of Juan Pablo Varillas, the Peruvian, to an end in very clinical Djokovic fashion. So to get that semi-final, Djokovic will play Karin Khachanov next, who of course beat Thanasi on Friday night. He's got an 8-1 head-to-head. And then Carlos to play Stefanos Tsitsipas, who he's beaten 4 from 4.
Oh.
So the numbers tell us that we could get, yeah, certainly Alcaraz and Djokovic through to that semi, which would be absolutely brilliant. And on the other side, of course, the completion of the fourth round tonight is a guy called Nicolas Jarry, who's a big Chilean, gone from 150 in the world to inside the top 30 this year. He could beat Casper Ruud tonight, who was the runner-up to Rafael Nadal this time last year. And Alexander Zverev's still a danger in the draw, big Sasha. Yeah. Had that horrific ankle injury going back 12 months ago at the French, and he's slowly been working his way back up against Dimitrov tonight. So, and Holger Rune is still on that side of the draw. So, yeah, it's a lot to like.
Brett, I was having to think what you spoke to us about the dominance of Nadal, because there are so many upsets on clay if you take Nadal out of the equation. So his record would have to be the greatest on any of the surfaces, wouldn't it, over tennis history, Nadal?
Oh, yeah, unmatched, Dave. I think, what is he, 112-3 at Roland Garros? It's just it just blows your mind, doesn't it? I mean, who's ever going to emulate that? Yeah, maybe Carlos Alcaraz. He's tracking okay. He won his last, I think, 11 Grand Slam matches, so who knows what the young Spaniard could certainly produce. And, yeah, certainly on the women's side, look, Iga Swiatek, I mean, she bageled the double bagel for her opponent on the weekend, 51 minutes. So the world number one looks good. You know, Sabalenka looks on track for a 1v2. But Sabalenka's got to overcome, I think, the feel-good story of the tournament. Returning from 12 months maternity leave, Elena Svitolina, married to Gael Monfils. So they've adopted her as a French player over there. And she is playing beautiful tennis. You know, 9-match winning streak. She could possibly beat Sabalenka, and that would be the fairy tale run from 12 months out, a mum to win her first major, potentially.
Brett, I was amazed today reading up, and by the way, I did watch a bit of the Djokovic match last night. Oh, God, he is so clinical, isn't he? It just mesmerises them. But I was just going to ask you about, he's won, yep. I was most to read, he's won the most quarterfinals now. That's 17 to Nadal's 16 at the French. It's hard to believe that Djokovic has won more of those.
Yeah, it's incredible. Blighty, I think it's his 55th Grand Slam quarterfinal overall. So the numbers are just phenomenal for these guys. So I would say that because Rafa missed a French. I don't think Djokovic has missed one. So that's where he's probably just got the edge because Rafa had to sit out 1 year, I think. I'm just trying to go back to when that year was. Through injury, but yeah, his record is incredible. And last night he made, what, just 20 unforced errors. He just grinds you into the ground, Djokovic. That's what he does. And he's serving, which has probably been a bit underrated, but you know, he's up around 75%, 80% first serves in last night. Those ones cutting away to the juice side, away from your forehand, so it gets you out of court and out of position. It's really tough to play.
Most solid backhand probably we've ever seen, Djokovic. Hey, Brett, if you had to pick someone between Djokovic and Alcaraz right here, right now, who would you put your money on if we do see that eventuate?
Yeah. Well, I'm giving Carlos the edge, to be honest. And it's, you know, people would say, well, hang on, Djokovic has won 22 times. But, you know, he's 36. Carlos is 20. Carlos is walking on water at the moment. So he's playing beautiful tennis. But they've never met best of five at a slam. So this is the ultimate test for Alcaraz. But he's got all... Everything, basically, every box ticked that could see him go the distance with Novak. Is it those younger legs that upstages Djokovic, who's still in supreme condition? But I just give Alcaraz the little nod in that contest just to break those rallies up with his all-court game. It is so dynamic. So that I'm just celebrating. Let's get the next match done and bring it on.
Hey, look, I know you've written him off, but I love Tsitsipas. I mean, the Greek get behind him when he plays at Melbourne. You know, everyone gets behind him. I love the way he goes about his tennis. I would love him to keep going. I know it's going to be tough for him, as you said, four love against who he's going to play next. But do you find him really good to watch?
Oh, no doubt, Blighty. Yeah, I mean, he's been so close. So, you know, Australian Open final. He's made, what, two other semis in Australia, French Open final. So he's been knocking on the door. You know, part of that pack, only Medvedev was been able to break through, Zverev and Tsitsipas and Berrettini and Rublev. All these guys are seeing, you know, the young 19, 20-year-olds overtake them. So that's driving them, no doubt. But, yeah, he's always had the good all-court game, Tsitsipas. Got that big wingspan at the net. You know, he's got the beautiful backhand. He has moments where he just mentally probably drifts away and just loses his way a little bit, but he'd love to take the scalp. He wouldn't be happy with 0-4 against young Carlos. So there's a lot driving Stefanos in the next round.
Have you seen Medvedev? I mean, he was number one momentarily, wasn't he? With all the war and the conflict and that, do you think that has affected in any way his preparation or form?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Dave. I think it's probably, there may be a little bit of that. And he became a dad last year as well. So, yeah, and I think, you know, just that level of competition. I mean, he is highly driven. He's got a small team around him. But, you know, you've got to find different ways, don't you? A few guys have just, I think, overtaken him in game style. And, I mean, tennis players are always trying to add a dimension. They'll have their base, and it's taken him, obviously, to world number one and a regular part of the top 10. But to win those matches with the small margins, what's he need to add? I mean, he's just never been great on clay and grass, for that matter. He's a supreme hardcourter.
Yeah.
But until he conquers those two surfaces, he's probably going to fall short numbers-wise that he's certainly capable of.
When I was watching Djokovic last night just play the game, I thought of an Australian that's won the French Open. We know we've had a lot. But we had one just recently called Ash Barty, who's sitting at home smoking a peace pipe. Do you ever think, this is a question without notice, of course, do you ever think she'll get the itch again?
I don't. No, I'm really convinced, Blighty, she won't. And I think she's just really, really content in her own skin. She is such a homebody, Ash, that she just loves being at home. And I think she has found enough things to fulfil her. And, you know, she's going to be a mum soon.
Yeah.
You know, she's doing a lot of different things. And, look, she cashed in. It's brilliant what she did over a 3 or 4 year period. And she can now make decisions because she's got plenty of money in the bank. So, no, I don't think the desire to travel and be part of the tennis roadshow will ever appeal to Ash again.
Mm. Hey, Brett, talking about the women's side, one last one. Coco Gauff, we saw her come as a very young young girl come and play some super tennis and hit the ball so hard. Is she any chance, given the we know there can be upsets in women's tennis?
I think she's building. The match we saw on the weekend, she played the 16-year-old, Mira Andreeva, right? Australian Open junior runner-up this year. A rivalry has been born there. The 19-year-old beat the 16-year-old, but the 16-year-old took a set off Coco Gauff. So look out for that young girl. She's got stars in her eyes, and she's brilliant. Coco should win her next round and then, a quarterfinal matchup with Iga.
Wow.
I mean, look, I don't think she's playing as well as she did at Roland Garros last year, but she's a year older and she'd love to take Swiatek's scalp, but the mood Iga was in on the weekend, I'd certainly have her ahead of Coco. But look, Coco's got time. That's the good thing. She's so young, but she's going to lift some trophies at some point in her career.
Great stuff. Brett Phillips talking Roland Garros, now streaming on Stan Sport. Every match had free 4 courts in 4K. He knows it all, Malcolm. Brett just
he does. He's
rolls
excellent.
Off the top of the tongue. A show thanks to Kia, official partner of the FIFA World Women's Cup 2023, and Lumo Energy. Switch to the affirmative. Join Lumo Energy today. Only got about a minute or so, not even that, Malcolm, but another big show. We've covered a bit of ground.
Yeah, we have indeed. Tommy Duda, of course, Nick Blakey, a 7-year contract, and Ange Postecoglou to Tottenham Hotspurs. That's an amazing story.
Still think Adelaide, just get the feeling. I know you can work both ways, climatise a couple of days earlier. Yeah. Get that Brisbane, Darwin humidity, Brisbane can be too, is awful. So, Malcolm, that's just about it for us. You have a great night. Just one glass of red tonight.
That'll do.
Both had a great week and you had a great day today too. And I'll do it all again tomorrow between 6 and 7. We always say, bye for now.
Bye, David.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia, official partner of the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023. Australian-owned and supporting communities, the arts and you. Join Lumo Energy today for a brighter SA.